Hey, everybody, welcome to UG Sports Live. My name is Roddy Nabulsi. I'm joined by Jim Donnan and Dane Young. And of course, everybody wants to talk and to us and hear what Coach Donnan has to say about SEC expansion and playoffs and all the fun stuff that's going on with college football right now. College football, very close. Practices are going to be starting up. We know the players are excited, the fans are excited. We had SEC Media Days this past week. It just feels like it's here. I know it's still, so many days until practice kicks off over a month or so, but it's, until the games actually kick off. But for us, we're always there on the first day of practice, and that makes the season seem like it's here because it's actually, balls are being thrown, caught, thuds are being done, and it just feels like we're so close. And as all that excitement gins up, the news breaks that, hey, Texas and Oklahoma might be joining the SEC. The 12-team playoff may be going crazy. Every day there's a new NIL announcement that comes out. So there's a lot of stuff going on in college football right now. And, of course, we want to get Coach Donnan's take on it and maybe even hear from Dane, or maybe not. You can just run the board. Either way, we have a great show for you today. A big shout-out to our friends at Athens Ford for sponsoring the show. And, of course, EuroPie for feeding us when they do. And our friends at Academia Brewing Company, big sponsors there. We do have room for a few more sponsors. I had some folks hit us up after I dropped my 3-2-1 this past Saturday. I will be getting in touch with those people and maybe see if they want to join us on the podcast. And I got a call this afternoon from a company you might want to hear about in the coming week. So we'll talk to them. But anyway, Coach, let's just jump right into it. Talk to us about this. Your buddies in Oklahoma want to come play over here in the SEC.
It's been a real roller coaster ride as far as the whole situation, about up in the air starting last Wednesday there at the SEC. But rather than go into every day about what was happening, it's basically been something in the works for a long time. I had a chance to talk to a couple of media guys out in Oklahoma that are similar to you and Dane at Georgia. They're pretty wired into OU. And it's just a case of looking into the future and finding ways to generate the kind of funds that are necessary to keep an athletic department going, not just the football, but as you know, all these other sports count dramatically on the funding that the athletic department gets from these TV monies and revenues. So it's just, I read today, a guy said that based on what he knows and how much can be generated and the projections that the SEC will generate more in 2024 or 2025 than the NCAA does. Wow. So that's over $1 billion. So, and the NCAA has the benefit of the basketball tournament, which will keep on rolling, I'm sure. But, everybody said, well, why do this? Why not all this? But when you look at the 12-team playoff, you really have a better chance in a mega conference of getting four or maybe five teams in than you would if you're split up. You just about got to win your conference or be second, to have a shot because there's so many teams playing in these other leagues. So I think whether we have the 14 pods or the 8-team situation, you could probably play 9 conference games. But in the end results, the OU product, and I'm not biased because of football, but just based on reality, Texas over the last 10 years ranks 5th or 6th in the Big 12 in wins and percentage in college football. Whereas, what OU's done, won 6 straight Big 12 championships. So they've been in the playoffs several times. So it's just a case of SEC jumping on the right people and having the ability to have that kind of drawing power to, you got to get who's your bedfellows, who you want to be in there with. And we might not be through with it. Who knows what's going to happen to the Big Ten? Do they go after some teams to try to fortify their situation? They have a tremendous TV package as it sits right now. But at the same time, now you're going to compete against the SEC. And then the other thing is ACC has got such a terrible back end contract that goes through 2036 that really isn't generating the kind of comparative figures that these other people are. and they're hoping they can bring in maybe West Virginia and hopefully maybe Notre Dame to help enhance their TV package. So I would say this, does the Big Ten go after Iowa State, Kansas because of basketball, or do all of a sudden does SEC go after Ohio State and Michigan just to make it a real smorgasbord? Because that would basically take care of a lot of things. The Big 12, I don't know what's going to happen to them. You know, those eight teams by themselves, they don't generate any kind of TV percentages. I mean, the AAC got better ratings on their games than the non-Oklahoma or Texas game. So the other thing that I heard was the Big Ten might go after a couple ACC teams to get their footprint more in the South to help Maryland a little bit, getting Virginia, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, and Georgia Tech to help their Atlanta market. So there's going to be all kind of projections, but we do know as of 11 o'clock today that the Oklahoma and Texas have formally requested to be in the SEC. Greg Sankey said that, and you know, the presidents are going to be voting on it Thursday. The last thing is this going to be 2025? Is it going to be 2024? Is it going to be 2023? Or is it going to be 2022? And if it's 2022, which I feel like has a better chance of any of them, because, hey, Big Eight's going to try the Big 12, which is the Big Eight. They're going to try to get as much money as they can from OU and Texas, but they're not going to be that fired up about them hanging around and playing, you know, kind of after the fact. And, you know, you just see the way that Maryland jumped in to the Big Ten and all these other schools when there has been, you know, these kind of situations before. I would say 2022, 2023 is a lot more relevant than 24 and 25. And that's about what I know here. And I'll see you guys later.
2 points that I want to make, because the natural reaction is to project into the future of what this means and what it's going to look like. And I have a lot of those same thoughts too. But we need to marvel at the fact that when we recorded this show last week, the news had not yet broken. Nothing had leaked yet. And now a week later, the official processes are happening that this is going to go through, that Oklahoma and Texas will join the SEC. In 2021, for something to remain a secret of this magnitude, for as long as it did, for it to be as coordinated as it has been, is just a marvel. I mean, those athletic departments, the SEC, there's a lot of work that's been done very quietly. And then now you heard the dollar figures that Coach just mentioned projecting into the future. That would make Greg Sankey the most powerful man in college athletics, the most powerful person in college athletics. And the other thing that I think a piece of this, it used to be that you thought if you made massive changes in college athletics that you had to work at it 10, 12 years in advance. You see these schedules that come out that we can't even schedule a game for 12 years. I think COVID had a lot to do with that, to say, oh, we are a little bit more fleet of foot. We can make changes on the fly. We can do things that we didn't think we could do. The entire structure of the sport had to react and change quickly. And then when you saw that happen with just the necessity of the pandemic, I think that that really fostered a lot of this. And then it all turns into a money play from there.
Now, Coach, I want to kind of along the lines of how quickly this came about. It caught everybody by surprise. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, I knew this was coming. If you want to know who the liars are in the industry, look at anybody that says they knew this was coming. That's a great way to find out about it. Because if you knew it was coming, you sat on it, good luck.
The people like you that write 3-2-1 reports and do all this stuff and are pretty accurate, they knew that OU was doing a lot, was really looking into it. Because they're pissed off about Fox. They were pissed off about the fact that Fox wouldn't talk about what they're going to do future-wise as far as the money that they were going to bring into them. The fact that they took the OU Nebraska game, going to play it at 11 o'clock in the morning so Fox could have that 12 o'clock window instead of, you know, the game of the century 50 years later, having it at night. They just felt like they needed to get into a program or an SEC type situation where you had such a heavy buying power. You know, they don't have any bet partners except Texas, and Texas hadn't, you know, they got to have Texas to come in with them because they need two of them. But excuse me for interrupting, but I do feel like Dane said that, hey, it's been quiet, but really out there, it's been something that people have been talking about. What's OU going to do? You know, they feel like their recruiting's up there now. You look at some of the guys they beat us on. They got a national reputation as far as developing quarterbacks. And so it just makes sense for them to come over here. But go ahead. But I think it has been more out and open out there than it, at least if they were looking around.
No, yeah. I mean, the discontent was there. I mean, we heard it from Texas fans. I mean, that's been there for a long time. And everyone said, well, no, this can't happen because Oklahoma has to take Oklahoma State. Texas has to, you know, that's the flagship. They can't go anywhere without taking Texas Tech and Baylor and all that. And I think Dane nailed it on the head when all of a sudden they realized, wait, we can change things. This time last year, there was no NIL in place. There was no talk. Well, there was talk, again, like this, of college expansion. But it wasn't a done deal to me, the college football playoff expansion. I mean, to me, that's almost a done deal. This now, I mean, can anybody stop this at this point? I mean, they applied for membership. I don't think anybody, maybe it's going to be 13-1 vote, 13-2. I don't know a lot of people that are going to vote against it. So it's pretty much a fait accompli. We're talking about what year are they going to join? And I'm with you, Coach. I've heard 2022, 2023. And they said, you know, after 2025 because of the contract thing. But when someone puts in their two-week notice, how many times have you been like, you know, it's okay. Just go ahead. Go ahead and clean out your desk. We appreciate it. Hey, thanks for your time here. Good luck in the future. Go ahead. Yeah, we don't need that distraction. So, Coach, do you see any impediments to this stopping? Because it seems to be going lightning fast. Well, let me ask you two questions. Do you think it can be stopped? And was my theory that the college football playoff, the impetus, the expansion of the playoff, the impetus that started this whole thing?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way you stop it. I mean, this is an avalanche coming down the mountain. There's no way you're going to stop it. It's just
it's a done deal.
I don't know. Why would anybody want to stop it? I mean,
I don't know.
Maybe
Texas
A&M found out very quickly their posture wasn't working there at the SEC meeting and everything. Your people in Texas let them know pretty quick that, hey, you know, we need to be – behind this situation a little bit. And then as far as the playoffs, sure, it's something that they're looking at because you want to get yourself in position, just like listening to Kirby talk about down the road scheduling and all that, about putting themselves in a better position to be in the playoffs. The same thing's true with Oklahoma. I mean, they don't get any big games every year. I mean, none of these teams that they beat are in the top 20 except Iowa State, and they lost to them in the regular season. So, and they don't get that many non-conference games. So scheduling has a lot to do with it. You got an inherent built-in situation where every year you're going to play five or six teams in the top 25 just within your league, maybe even more now. So from Texas standpoint, they bring a lot to the table, just national name, all that, but they're minor sports or Olympic sports. We all know they won the Director's Cup this past year as the first time in like 30 years that Stanford hadn't won it. So they got an overall unbelievable program to bring to these other sports, but that's not the real catch-all as far as making a deal buster, but it helps them because their football program isn't up to OU. And of course, OU's got a tremendous softball team. Gymnastics was second in the country, lost by 1/100th of a point. You know, they've got a lot of good sports too, but and their golf ended up losing in the championship match too. But Ryan Hibble, a Georgia guy, is the coach out there. So it's going to be some back and forth and all that. But the other thing is, what's ESPN going to do now with this CBS package? Because they have it starting in two more years, but if all of a sudden that these teams are in the league, they might tell CBS, hey, we'll give you this much to get out and we're going to start taking that 3:30 game. But can you imagine, though, what Fox is going to be like now without the OU-Texas game, without OU games? at 12 o'clock, they're going to be all Big Ten now. And, you know, how's your ratings with Iowa against Northwestern compared to OU versus Georgia? I mean, you know, it's just going to be – because if you look all day and these people at ESPN, I mean, the way they're going to program these things, those 12 o'clock games are going to be just as important to them on their menu as the 3:30 game, as the 7 o'clock game, because you're going to have some war daddy games there with that kind of package there. So, and you know, they're just salivating trying to sell it when they start selling sponsorships to these things. I mean, it's going to be Katie bar the door.
I want to bring this around to Georgia a little bit. So Roddy, I have a question for you, because I think what everyone wants to know is these divisions, are they going to withstand whatever configuration is coming next? And at least from my perspective, when Missouri and Texas A&M joined the league, the fact that Georgia has not yet been to Texas A&M and is not scheduled to for, what, another 2 years, they might as well not be in the same conference. And so I would hope that the SEC learns from that, because each team has a similar team on their schedule like that, that you're only going to go to their stadium once every 10 years in the current format. Well, now you're adding two more teams to that. So do you see the division configuration withstanding, or do you think this is just a whole new frontier?
I think it's a new frontier, but at the same time, the whole pod thing for 14 pods is kind of a tough sell for some people, because again, I'm with you. You see how the SEC has been light on its feet. You know, these other teams are, you know, things move so quickly and people can get used to a new normal pretty fast. But at the same time, this whole college football is about tradition, you know, and you can, if you keep changing too much stuff, people get a little crazy. People like the East and the West ideas. I don't think that when you start saying, hey, let's add Alabama and Auburn to the East, Georgia fans would like that, or fans in general of the East would like that. They're like, wait a minute. But at the same time, it makes it be dumb to put Texas or Oklahoma in the East. You know, Missouri's already a stretch. So I could see the fans might want to keep the whole division, but I don't think they've gotten that far in the process to figure out how they're going to do it. I really don't.
I would say this, and you make a good point. Do you really think they care what the fans think? I would like for them to, and I think Georgia certainly cares about our fans as far as staying with the Jacksonville contract. That's one of the reasons they've stayed with it, because the fans want to play down there. But Kirby's mentioned he wants to get that extra game here at home where you got official visits and unofficial visits. But the point that Dane made, the way you enhance playing more teams quicker is with the 14 pod, in the fact that you can play a 9-game schedule. You play 3 games within your pod. You play 2 teams from each other pod, which would give you 6 games, and you rotate those around every 3 years. So you would be doing that in a situation where you get more games within the conference against those teams outside your pod. So I can't see how you can really schedule 16 teams and be fair if you make it East and West or North and South. I just think you got to try to get as many games as you can against each other. You know, like the Pac-12 started doing that right off the bat when they went to that North-South division, and just to make it a conference championship. And we saw last year the benefit of playing everybody in the conference as far as just the stature of our league, about how hard it is to win, and Alabama going undefeated. Mark Stoops said the other day, you know, it just takes a toll on you playing those big opponents every week like you do in the SEC. So the whole situation is going to be very up in the air on the scheduling, and I think it's kind of hard for us to project it. But I think the biggest thing would be the 9 game. I think you're going to have to play 9 conference games.
I agree, Coach. And my first thought when Dane asked me that question was like, we talk about Georgia not going to Texas A&M, but who really cares? And I don't mean that in a mean way, Dane. It's just
that's. Oh, I think some Georgia fans do, though. I think a lot of Georgia fans want that experience of, all right, they're in the conference. Let's go check out College Station, not having like Georgia doesn't play games there. And just because A&M joined the conference, they still don't play games there.
Yeah, I'm still just like, you don't play, but does it?
They played them 2 years ago here, but, you know, it's just hard to schedule and make the schedule work when a team comes into the league like that, when you have all these games and they're in a different sector. And it's just kind of an anomaly, not Georgia going there. But I tell you what, we'll set up for any Georgia fan who wants to go out there. Roddy will pay for it through Rivals. And I don't think there'd be more than five people that want to go to a College Station. Come on.
Yeah, to the point, though, when it comes down to benefit, and I saw some people say, well, look, we haven't been to Texas A&M. We're going to add two more teams. It'll be 2030, 2050 before we go out there. I'm like, that's not why you're adding these teams. You know, Texas is the nation's most high or the highest grossing college football program, $224 million they made. Oklahoma is either six or number eight in the nation. You're adding two top 10 grossing revenue schools to the SEC. And we're talking about, I mean, I saw estimates of the payout from television being in the $70 million per school range, you know, and other two people saying, hey, what about dropping these other teams from the SEC? Ain't nobody want to leave the SEC. I don't care if you are Vandy and you're adding a couple more teams in there. Vandy's not winning now. They're not going to win when you add two blue bloods like that. It's just not going to happen. But the overall standpoint, you know, hey, if you add these teams and it takes you 30 years before you get out to Oklahoma to face them in a home and away, so be it. You still add the teams because of the value they bring to the conference and the contract for TV and all that stuff. Again, to me, the fact that you add them to the conference and you get that Georgia Oklahoma game, that Georgia Texas game, Texas Alabama, you know, at 7:30, you know, that was preceded by Florida Oklahoma, you know, at 3:30. Hell yeah. And if you fans don't get to go to some of those games or takes forever to get out there, that to me is so far down the list of concerns. It's not really in my wheelhouse, but I do like the fact that I was against going to nine games because I thought the SEC was tough enough. But I think now you're going to have to go to nine games. The pod system may work. Or to me, you can do the divisions, but you don't play everybody in your division. Maybe you play some guys from the other side as well.
That's all up in the air. But I would point out this, that I had a note that I want to make sure. If you look at Disney, you look at all these things, the opportunities for streaming, you're going to see that that's another source of revenue. The fact that now ESPN Plus is going to have all these games they can stream on top of the fact they can produce live. And that brings a lot of revenue too. So I think my experience being involved in TV after coaching, you got to understand that all these what they used to call suits up there, the guys that wear the suits that make the decision, they're basing so much on what kind of revenue they can produce by having these games on their menu. And that's why, you know, some of these conferences don't get many people going after their package because they just don't see that they can sell that to the sponsors or whatever it might be. But, you know, I think theory-wise that so much of what we think as fans, as Georgia Bulldog supporters, we're worried about scheduling and who we're going to play and all that, and, you know, the balance of power and all that. But the basis of this whole move is money-driven. It's just a money grab any way you look at it.
And whatever that figure is from Disney, ESPN, whatever that winds up being, that's going to be the precedent for future media contracts of this caliber. And it's not going to be the traditional Fox and NBC and all those getting into it. It's going to be Google and Apple and all these new tech moneymakers, just because that's how the entertainment world is transforming. And they would fully own that rather than having to share it with the previous cable bundles. So this is a lot of the last 10 years of new technology advancing now. I will disagree with you on one thing, though, Roddy. You said that the SEC probably doesn't know what that configuration is going to be. I don't think Texas and Oklahoma get this far down the road without having some idea of what they're jumping into.
Very fair. Very fair. You're probably right. And I have heard that they knew that ahead of time, and you know, people who are kind of backfilling in the story so that they have known that and they actually know what the configuration is, you know, and where everybody's going to line up. But
they hold these cards that they got to come in there saying, look, we got to have OU Texas. I mean, regardless of what you do, where you put us, OU and Texas got to play every year.
Yeah,
I mean that.
I would say the same for Texas and Texas A&M too, especially with, you know, the scuttlebutt that came from this.
I don't know that that's that big a deal for either one of them, but maybe so. They sure didn't bother them the last 10 years. And I'm not trying to disagree, but we're talking about what they say coming in. I would think A&M and LSU are going to be together. OU and Texas are going to be together as far as the Western teams. And then you fill in the others. Auburn and Alabama probably going to come over to some kind of pod where you got Auburn, Alabama, Vanderbilt. We'll see. But we're going to be with Florida. I mean, we're going to be with Florida. Is it going to be with us with South Carolina and Kentucky? Is it going to be with Tennessee and Kentucky? You know, and you got Alabama, Tennessee. I mean, people are going to want to keep that game. That's for sure. That's a year that you have one every year. But
so Arkansas is just looking for somebody.
I think the permanent crossover thing is going to be not as a thing where you say permanent crossover, because you're going to have those two games that you play from each pod every year. So if that's the case, you might not have those permanent games where you know, Georgia plays Auburn every year, Alabama plays Tennessee. We'll just have to see. But we're talking about Johnny Carson needs to get on Carnac the Magnificent to ask him when you pull out the envelope. But
I think Coach already knows what the alignment is. I think he's sandbagging us here. He won't tell us what it is. I think he does.
I really don't know the alignment. I promise you. If I did,
I'll say this with the rivalries, though. The only two that I think, as Georgia fans, the two rivalries that I think would need to be preserved are Florida and Auburn. And the others, I think, are whatever it may be. But those are the two that if they went away, I think that'd be a little sad for the SEC. I don't think that'll happen, especially with Georgia, Florida. But if a configuration happens that it breaks up the Auburn rivalry, I mean, that's as historic as college football gets.
Can't have the cake and eat it too, though. I mean, for $70 million, you're going to have to give up some. I don't know that you're going to be able to. And you make a good point, Old South's oldest rivalry, all that, but we'll just have to see. But it hasn't been a rivalry for the last 15 years. I mean, so we'll have to see how that goes. But I had to throw that in there. But
no, that's a good swipe. So Coach, you're talking about some of the new technology and streaming. I think that has a lot to do with it. And I do want to mention the fact that some of the new technology that I saw recently on the Athens Ford Facebook page, excuse me, on their website, they actually have kind of the Google Earth maps where you can actually walk through their showroom. If you've ever used the street view on Google Maps and you kind of go up and down the street and when you're trying to find the front of a building or front of a house or something, they have the exact same thing through their showroom. So you can actually walk into the parts room, you can walk into the service bay, you can walk down to where they have some of their vehicles inside the showroom. You can see all the stuff. So for folks that have heard me for years talk about Athens Ford and what it's like to be, to go out to that showroom or go out to that service bay and the fantastic service area with the great Wi-Fi and the snacks, and the drinks and all that great stuff. It's when I say it's immaculate, you can actually click on the viewer there and see the entire thing. So very neat technology they have out there. And of course you have Athens Ford, you have their, all their technological advantages when it comes to, hey, I want to do some shopping, but I don't feel like driving all the way out there. Hit them up. And just like we're doing on a Zoom call, they'll go outside and, you know, walk up to a vehicle and you can look at it on FaceTime or Zoom or whatever, and they'll show it to you and grin, they'll drop it off to you. So big shout out to the technology early adapters out at Athens Ford. This isn't an old stodgy, slow to update facility. This is pretty much state of the art. So check out our friends at Athens Ford.
Man, I've been seeing those Ford Broncos out there on the road and they look swanky.
Oh, I know. I really want one, but well, we don't have enough people advertising on the site. And speaking of also streaming, you know, Coach has mentioned the streaming deals that are going to be in place. That's a huge part of the contracts. We will be doing our watch-alongs this fall. We'll have Coach and you and myself, or somebody better, ideally, you know, actually doing the watch-along so that you can actually watch the game on your TV. And then on your phone or app or laptop, you can watch Coach Don and the rest of us as we're seeing the game. You pause your TV for like 10 seconds, and then we'll be synced up. And you can watch Coach Don and call the plays before they happen and point out stuff that's going on. Sometimes we even break news. You know, we may not be on site, but lots of times we have people who are, and they're able to tell us what's going on. And we break the news there before it even breaks out on Twitter or in the stadium or stuff like that. So point being, don't forget to check out the watch along when the Georgia Clemson game kicks off, because we will be there in studio watching the game with you, so you can watch it with us.
I know we'll touch on some topics outside of expansion, but we do obviously have some questions from listeners about it. So I figure we'll get to those now, and then we'll transition after that. So over on the Venn at UGASports.com, Elvis Skinner asked, who benefits the most from the new SEC members joining? Is it the new teams in Texas and Oklahoma? Is it the historic SEC teams? Is it both? Is it neither? So let's talk winners and losers of this expansion.
Yeah, I would just say everybody wins, just from the standpoint of some of the question marks that going forward for athletic departments are answered very quickly as far as being able to sustain your budget. I mean, you got a windfall there that you weren't expecting, and it makes it a lot easier to, you know, continue operating like you want to. But as far as, you know, some of the teams that haven't been as competitive, you know, they're never going to be as competitive year in and year out, just because historically they haven't been. That's just the way it is. But from the standpoint of the better teams, I think it just gives you a chance to get two more games a year without having to play a non-conference game and leave your footprint. You're playing within your footprint. It really helps you. So I think it's a win-win for OU in Texas, and win-win for SEC teams. The lesser teams, they're not going to win anyhow.
Let me just ask this to you bluntly, Coach. The budget issues that came from the pandemic, how much of that inspired this?
No, I think it was a little bit of an issue, but certainly this has been more out front or behind the scenes, not out front, been behind the scenes for more than just this last few weeks. I think the pandemic certainly caused a lot of issues, but just a real striking thing to me is to read that the SEC is lending every team in the conference 20 some million dollars going forward. And they set up a bank loan based on their assets of the TV money coming in. So you got that much firepower that you can borrow 14 times 20, what is that, 28, I mean, whatever, how many million dollars that is, just on your ability to attract TV money. So that gives you how powerful the SEC is. And that other analogy for people that just got in here but didn't see the opening, NCAA gets $1.2 billion for basketball, and you know, the SEC is going to have over $1.3 billion in revenue when Texas and OU come in. Come on, that's stronger than Ajax. I mean, it's, you know, the foaming cleanser. I mean, it is strong. And I just feel like I'm SEC, you know, I'm a homer SEC, and I always like for Oklahoma because I coached out there. But the reality is, you know, I argue with my grandson. I mean, Big 12, you know, another thing, I wonder what the SEC is going to do about the horns down. I can't see us saying, hey, you can't do the horns down. Can you?
I can. Well, they punish people for doing the gator chomp. You know, it's like, oh, you're not allowed to chomp back at them. Georgia, Florida fans can do it, but if you do it, then they penalize you for taunting.
You go to Big 12 Media Day, and the big thing is they're talking about, okay, we're going to penalize teams for doing the horns down. I mean – Texas, oh, poor Texas. I mean, yeah. The horns down to you. Switzer's had a good one, said, hey, people don't get mad at you when you give them the finger usually. Hey, it's the same. hey, people, you want to give them the finger, you give them the finger. The same thing with horns down. But
I'm all for it. But to go back to Dane's question about, you know, the winners and losers, it's not like, you know, Kentucky or Vandy or South Carolina or Ole Miss or is going to have to play an additional game against Texas and an additional game against Oklahoma in the same season. We're talking 8 games going to possibly 9 games in the conference. So if you're a struggling mid-tier or lower tier SEC conference member, then yeah, you're probably going to lose that if you have to play one of the bigger boys. But at the same time, you know, people say, well, this makes it tougher on Georgia to make it to the playoffs. I'm like, well, then why did Georgia and schedule Oklahoma and Texas in the upcoming seasons and Clemson and was looking at USC and Ohio State and everybody else? Kirby was already scheduling these teams to play against Georgia. So to me, nothing changes. So they say it's going to be tougher for them. Again, in my core, in my heart, I know that, you know, that everyone else is seeing the SEC get these, you know, Vandy getting $44 million in TV money and these other schools are like, Vandy's getting that. We're better than Vandy. Why aren't we getting that? And I don't think that Texas and Oklahoma are the only two teams to reach out to the SEC and see if you're, you know, yeah, room. A lot of people want to be part of that. But I think at the same time, when you see those types of money thrown around there, people want to be a part of it. And you're not, even the teams that say, ah, this is going to make it even tougher to get to the playoffs. Well, you're going to have to go through those teams anyway. And once you expand the playoffs, now they're like, oh, well, we can have our cake and eat it too. We can get more teams into the playoffs and have a big conference and crazy money. I do think it's just kind of a win-win for everybody. And I don't know the
point out this one thing that Dane said, and you just made a good point too. If you're in the conference, you need to play these teams. So you're probably going to have to play some better teams than you did. But so what? You're in the conference. You're taking the money. That's just the way it is. And I do feel like as far as the playoffs, you probably enhanced a little bit because two teams from another part of the country that would have a chance of making the playoffs, you got some teams in your league that might be knocking them off and give you an opportunity to get in there that you wouldn't have because of that situation. So there's a lot of ways to look at it. But, you know, if you're going to take the money – for being in the conference, you got to be ready to get your butt beat. I mean, that's just the way it is. I'm talking about these teams that haven't won on that level. But
you're right.
One important point that you just made, though, Roddy, is this was pretty subtle, but in Greg Sankey's statement today, he made sure that it read that the SEC was not proactively pursuing expansion, essentially saying that Texas and Oklahoma came to us. And yeah. We thought about it, and it's like, yeah, that makes sense for everybody. Now, coaches, you're shaking your head a little bit, so you know how this stuff goes.
That's a CYA statement if I've ever seen one. Isn't it? I mean,
yes, it is. It absolutely is.
Got to say that, but
more. I think the point of it is saying
heads two people to make a deal and. They sure wouldn't have been ready to do all these things that they did if we weren't open arms for them. I mean, and yeah. I would test our mentality if we weren't.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting two blue blood programs. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's the point, I think, is that this is not adding Memphis and South Florida. This is adding two of the most, money-making historic legacy programs in college football history. Although I will say, Texas, as you mentioned, Coach, hasn't been this college football powerhouse for the last 15 years.
I could really get on Texas if they hadn't beaten us in the Sugar Bowl, but I can't say a whole lot. You know, they did beat us. But they've had, since Mac Brown was there, I mean, they're on their third coach in the last 10 years, and they've I do feel like that this new athletic director they've got a new president. This Chris Del Conte was a guy that over the years, I've been very impressed with what he did at TCU, all the building they did there, the way they renovated that stadium, the way Gary Patterson got that program on the map after Franchione left. I think Chris Del Conte will certainly add a lot to the league. And without question, Joe Castiglione, the OU athletic director, is the if not the preeminent athletic director in the country. He's in the top two or three. So we're bringing very astute people to the table to give us some different ideas about how to make things happen. I mean, Castiglione was on a football committee, the college football selection committee. He was past chair of the ADs of the people for the NCAA basketball selection. You know, you're bringing in some powerful people here to help your conference.
And don't underestimate the impact of getting Austin as a market. That is one of the fastest growing cities in the country. A lot of money flows into that city. And then combining having Texas A&M and Oklahoma, that adds Dallas as a full SEC city at that point too. So just in terms of expansion of the conference footprint, I mean, so many of the biggest cities and markets in the country are now SEC. And if you think about it, Austin's going to be the biggest one. Is Austin and Nashville, right? Just in terms of city population.
Is Austin bigger than Dallas?
I'm just saying in terms of SEC schools, if you go where the campuses are, it's kind of crazy to think that like Austin and Starkville are going to be in the same conference, but it does happen.
Hey, I'll take it. I'm excited about it. To me, getting Texas is big. I know it's big for Texas. They're thinking about the recruiting. You know, Oklahoma has been able to recruit very well nationwide, but Texas has had some struggles, and Texas A&M has been making money off of that hand and foot, or at least making money, because that kind of good, but they've been making hay, if you will, out of the fact that they were in the SEC. That separated them from the other schools in Texas. And they're like, look, you want to come play in the best conference? One gets all the draftees, come to Texas A&M. So, you know, that's one of the issues they have with Texas joining. But I think Coach
Mike, that you made there about recruiting, five of the top 9 or 10 guys in the state of Texas went to Alabama last year. Mm-hmm. You know, the two Brockemeyer guys, that one running back, you know, and that gets your attention pretty quickly when you're Sark and you're taking that job and you've been coaching at Alabama and you're recruiting these guys, and now all of a sudden you're trying to get these kids. But these kids are looking at exposure too, and that's why you see so many of them leaving the state of Texas to play in the SEC or go to A&M as compared to play in the Big 12 and go to Texas or Oklahoma.
Yep.
My final point on all this, just from a thousand foot view, college football needed some changes. There was only 6 or 7 teams every year that were really in competition to win a national title. It was Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Georgia, LSU, and maybe one more in there that sneaks in. The rest of them took some kind of Hail Mary historic run to even get in that bunch. And now a lot of that's because of how recruiting has gone, but something needs to shake this up, whether it's college football conference expansion, playoff expansion. Both of those look like they're happening. So I think it's healthy for the sport to avoid stagnation.
When we did our quick rec, when the news broke that they were looking at the 12-team college expansion, when we did our right here on YouTube, I said, this is a great thing for college football because you have so many teams that feel like after their first loss, the season is over. You know, if you're a Nebraska or you are a Wisconsin or you are a Kentucky, you know, and you're like, hell, Georgia, lose that first game, feel like, okay, the stars. And when you're rooting for other teams to lose, you know, just to have a crack of a chance to get in, to make the playoffs, then you get a little frustrated with it. And we were seeing that in the numbers, you know, seeing that in the popularity. But I think this conference, the playoff expansion, I keep saying conference expansion, but the playoff expansion, I think, has been the straw that stirs the drink, if you will, for a lot of this stuff. Again, millions and millions of dollars, you know, has a lot to do with it. But I think this is the lubrication that makes all this other stuff flow so well. So, Dane, do we have any other questions you want to get on to?
Probably not about that topic. I mean, most people have their comments. Some people agreed that they didn't need to travel to Texas A&M to see a game there, which I thought was kind of funny. So I guess I'm in the minority there. Nick Benton is asking on YouTube, what are the chances that Alabama and Auburn are moved to the East if Texas and Oklahoma end up joining? Again, we don't know that. I'm sure that will be announced. The interesting thing is if Texas and Oklahoma, I don't think money's an issue to break the contract stuff that they have now. If this gets pushed up to be a 2022 expansion, then we're going to know about these configurations sooner rather than later.
Yeah, one thing about next week, fans that might not understand, and I'm sure most of them do, but what has to happen for them to break free all the way. Well, they have the rights. The Big 12 has the television rights to any Oklahoma or Texas game through 2025. And that's so much every year. So total about $70 million for a piece. So what they've got to do is figure out if they keep playing, certainly they would get that money. But if they leave, how are they going to pay that money to the rest of the league to get to break out of there? How are they going to get that money dispersed? So a couple things are going to happen here. Either the Big Eight, which I'm calling it now, you know, they're the big, they got 10 teams in there. The Big Eight is either going to dissolve altogether. These people are going to go Texas Tech, Baylor, all these teams are going to go to another league. And if that happens, then OU and Texas aren't going to owe the Big 12 anything. But if they don't dissolve, then they've got to get lawyers in there and find out some way, like Maryland did, like Missouri and Texas A&M did. How much are you going to pay the league to leave and make it right? It might not be all of this, but it might be some of it. And if they get dissolved pretty quickly, then they can come in here right away and start playing, you know. So, and I would think that's the end result, is to try to get here as quick as they can so they can get rolling and tell these recruits, hey, we're in the SEC right now, you know. So that's the way that works.
Well, if the SEC can loan out $280 million to its members, do you think the SEC says, hey, look, we'll cover you. Come on in. We'll give you the loan to pay off the Big 12 to get out of your TV contract, and we'll just hold it against your future earnings.
You never know what's going to happen there, but I do feel like that the one little caveat that ESPN can do with the Longhorn Network, for the people that know that, you know, Texas has their own TV network, kind of like the SEC network. It's a Longhorn Network, but it's been a very much of a disaster as far as moneymaker. It's been a drain on ESPN. They might tell ESPN might tell Texas, hey, we'll give you $50 million to dissolve this contract, and you can use that to pay for your for the what's going on to get out. So I don't know that they would do that, but that's something that's been battling around, you know, because they're not bringing that Longhorn Network into the SEC, but they will bring some of the resources of it to help the SEC, you know, as far as some of their product with these minor sports and things like that.
I don't think you have to worry about money being an issue with Texas and Oklahoma. There is enough money from their booster base to do what they want to do.
Yeah,
there is, but there's also sound fiscal management, and you just don't come up with $70 million right out of the box to try to pay somebody off. But you make a good point. They definitely got that, but I wouldn't think that the boosters would be near as interested in giving them that money to pay the Big 12 as they would to help them with NIL or
maybe recruiting,
manage a car or something like that, you know. So,
yeah, I know what you mean, Coach. It's I'd also want to point out, you mentioned that Texas won the Director's Cup last year for having the nation's best overall athletic program. Adding Texas to all the other SEC sports, like say the Olympic sports, would be big, but Oklahoma too. Oklahoma has a streak of eight years of having at least one national champion in a sport. Some years they've had two or three. So you're bringing in two good programs, not just two football powerhouses, but as you mentioned before, their Olympic sports are fantastic. So this is going to strengthen the SEC across the board.
I think Texas won the men's tennis too. I'm not sure, but I think they're either men's or women, and they were right there in all of them. But
I used to make a lot of money on men's Longhorn tennis and Oklahoma as well. I used to, when the NCAA would come to Athens, I would reach out to all the other departments and say, look, I'm here in town. If you need pictures of your tennis players, let me know. And I'd always pick up Stanford and USC and Longhorns. Longhorns always paid well. And from a rivals standpoint, this is fantastic for me and for UGA sports. The biggest site in our network is the Tennessee site. Jason Succomel and Jeff Ketchum out there.
You mean Texas? You said Tennessee.
Excuse me. Texas. That's like saying that's a bad faux pas. You said Tennessee there.
I apologize.
One UT to the other.
I always screw up. You guys know this. It's not our first show together.
UT now, Tennessee or Texas?
I'm not even going to answer you anymore. It's Texas.
UT Austin, is that what they do?
Texas is gigantic. Texas, their site is fantastic. They their reporting is top notch. They're the number one site in our network by a pretty good margin. And to be able to go back and forth and have that reporting, have them as part of our SEC conference coverage. Same with Kerry Murdoch at the Oklahoma site. You know, those guys are fantastic. They tip us off on stuff all the time. All this stuff, all the news that we've been checking out, I keep going and read their sites. They are cutting edge. They are connected. And I'm loving the idea of, hey, the Georgia's playing Oklahoma, getting Kerry Murdoch and Eddie on TV and talking to those guys and going back and forth with them. So I know it's an inside baseball stuff, but I'm so excited about having them in the conference to be able, because, you know, Georgia got to play Texas once, got to play Oklahoma once, and it was a teaser about how good our coverage could be going into a game with those guys. So very excited about it.
I'm excited about some year pie. It's Double Points Tuesday.
I'm more excited about the new thing they just introduced, that 14-inch pizza, the big-ass pizza. It's just monster. Before, they were doing that in Athens as kind of a trial run, but now you can get it at any of their locations. It's an online order only, so don't go into the store and say, hey, I want the 14-inch. You have to order it online. But as you point out, that works out great because today's Double Points Tuesday. So go ahead and order it on the app and do all the, you know, pick your crust, pick your sauce, pick your cheese, all the toppings you want. And if you think about it, you get that 14-inch pizza with all the different toppings on it. You don't have to pay for each additional topping. It's fantastic. It's a great deal. It's better than anything out there, and it's going to taste better. But that's always, you know, the EuroPie guys are always innovating, and they came out with the way to make those custom pies even bigger. So if you're like, hey, I want to get one for the family, but I don't want to have to sit here and go through 14 different people's choices. We'll just get two or three done this way. So it works out really well for them. And you can still get their peach and prosciutto pizza. So try the 14-inch one on that.
Yeah, that would be delicious.
I do want to mention our friends over to, before you get to the next question, I also want to mention our friends at Academia Brewing Company. I forgot the guy's name, but he's actually one of our board members. He came through Athens the other day. He tried the Skull, which I used to drink a lot when we were at Classic City Eats, the Skull beer, S-K-A-L. And he said, Roddy, I saw you drinking on the show. I loved it. Or I wanted to try it. I loved it. It was fantastic. Good recommendation. I'm like, yeah. I know all this about beer. I don't know crap about beer, but I do know good beer when I drink it. And I know the Skull is good. And he picked up some Hopperdijak. I'm waiting to hear what he thinks of the Hopperdijak when he tries it. I feel bad for forgetting his name, but you guys know that I'm mentally unstable. So big shout out to our friends at Academia Brewing Company. When you get a chance, try their beer and brunch weekends, beer and biscuit brunches on the weekends. Try those out when you get a chance. And swing by and grab some stuff to take with you for these upcoming games.
All right, I know that this has been expansion heavy, so I'm going to do a couple quick hitters. Coach, I'm going to ask you about the team in just a second, UGA, what they're doing until fall camp and the start of the season. But, Roddy, here's a slight expansion question, but yeah. I'm going to limit you to 20 seconds on your answer here. This is about Arch Manning, and so I feel like with recruiting, this may be up your alley a little bit. The expansion, Texas being involved in the SEC, what does this do to Arch Manning's recruitment?
It's still going to be a ridiculous recruitment. Everybody in the country wants him with good reason. It just helps Texas and or Oklahoma that much more that he would be competing in SEC. But I don't know that it will affect it. It's not going to make it any crazier than it would already be.
Coach, any thoughts on Arch Manning before I ask you about the team?
You know, Oklahoma just got that Malachi, whatever his name is, from the West Coast for the other top quarterback for 2023, so it's not going to affect Oklahoma, but Texas certainly. You know, I would think that based on the Manning family, that they would like to play in the SEC, so that helps Texas. But you know, it's going to be a real Donnybrook trying to figure out where he's going. But we got another few months here, or maybe a year and a half, before we know. But he's a very generational type talent. He's an excellent player.
Hey, in a couple months, there could be 20 teams in the SEC. You never know.
Hope we get him.
As we're recording this, it's July 27th. Coach, what's happening with Georgia's team between now and the beginning of fall camp?
One of the things you try to do with your team is you know, how you're going to have some peaks and valleys as far as emotion, as far as training and everything. I mean, they're peaking on their weight training and finishing up a lot of, you know, traditional lifts where they're building bulk and increasing speed and doing all that. But at the same time, they realize that they're not going to have the benefit of spending as much time on weights once football starts. It's more of a maintenance type deal where you, so they're really putting the emphasis on that, finishing up strong. This is a big week for them in a lot of different ways. Their installation, finishing up their installation of what they're going to put in, and then they'll renew that the first day that they start back on the 6th. So I think just kind of put the hay in the barn here all week, kind of finalize everything, and then kind of kick back for a few days. Some of them can go home, whatever they need to do, but it's really the finale of a big buildup. Spring practice, May semester, hard June, hard July, and then kick back a little bit, and then get ready to go August 6th.
A couple boys told me that they have some serious exams coming up. So,
yeah, hey, they got to go to school too. You're right. And it's a little bit different for everybody because, you know, there's not as much, there's a lot more in-person classes now. So, you know, they're back on that schedule, but, I think the great thing about going to class and taking classes in the summer is you don't have that game bearing down every Friday leaving town or every Saturday, you know, being at home, whatever it might be. You got a little bit more chance to focus in on the academics. And I thought, I don't read your site much, but I did read that report. You showed me your report, which I thought was very good. And the point that you made about Georgia on recruiting, I want all the fans to know that I was a coach here for 5 years and I've been here for 20 more. People use that against us. These kids have a background that's not as conducive to competing in these classes as the students that are admitted. Everybody gripes about how hard it is to get in Georgia, but you know, certainly we get some admission breaks and things like that. And Kirby's very careful about bringing in the people that he thinks can make it, but they have to spend an inordinate amount of time because of their lack of background or their lack of academic progress, trying to keep up with these classes that are built towards these five-star academic students. So nothing wrong with that, but as far as the way the classes are, but coaches that have coached here that are around the league, they'll use that against us saying, hey, look, you know, how much time do you want to spend with a tutor? You want to spend all your free time working on trying to stay eligible or you want to have some social life? Now, we got kids that have that, that's for sure, but it is a very difficult time for some of these kids to keep up with it, and they're doing a good job. They get great help. Our academic assistance is tremendous, but it's an issue. There's no question about it that we have to confront. And once a kid's here, he sees that he can make it. But if you're looking at making a decision and you're thinking about, am I going to have to spend this much time? Of course, Kirby's telling you, hey, we're going to use the time effectively, but it's a negative for us for sure.
Speaking into the academics, I'm on campus right now. You guys know my office is here on campus. And a lot of the preparation that's being done just for the student body as a whole, because Coach, you're right that the time commitment for athletes is much more demanding. But just for students as a whole, typically first day, first week of classes, you can spot the freshmen immediately because they're the ones with their phones or the sign to try to figure out, all right, how do I get from one place to the next? They don't know where they're going. They didn't walk the campus. They have their maps out. They look lost. And usually there's people to try to help them. So the difference this year is because the learning was so disrupted last year, there's going to be 2 years worth of students that likely don't know where they're going as well. And that includes a lot of the athletes too. So there's a lot of acclimation that's going to be in this semester that I think is going to be unique. But the other piece of that is in academics, it's so important to get off to a good start in a semester because you can always relax a bit more and your grades will be fine, but it's hard to come back if you struggle early.
Well, I can give you one thing, the advantage we got over a regular student, and I want everybody to be regular students, but we got a lot of people that show show these kids where to go to class, and they do walkthroughs for that just like they do for their play. So our kids get a lot of coaching, and they don't want to hear somebody come in, "Well, coach, I couldn't find the class." These guys, they take them, and they take them to every class and show them where everything is before they even start. So that's – you made a good point there, but getting to class is not a real issue here, because if you don't go to class, they know it pretty quickly, and that those kids don't want to have to do what they have to do with a class. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I remember talking to a certain player years ago. He actually transferred out and said, "Hey, we're going to see you today." He goes, "No, I'm ineligible for the first half of the game." I'm like, "Why?" "Oh, I missed this class." I'm like, you missed one class and you're out half a game?" He goes, "Yeah." Okay. So, yeah, they don't play around when it comes to that. But one of the things you were in Dane's question about what are they doing right now, in our 3-2-1 report, I also mentioned the fact that they ran stadium steps the other day. And we saw a little video pop out from that on social media. But they had to run 15 of the stadium step rows, you know, the straight rows, and it's 60 levels, you know, two steps per level, 120 steps, you know, and I'm sure they're taking them 2-3 at a time to start, but not towards the end. But they ran 15 of those, and each time they ran one on the big screen, they had video highlights of the team that Georgia is going to play, ideally in each one of those. They want to play 15 games. It's 15 games to win the national title. And they were playing 15 different videos. I don't know who the last couple of videos were of, maybe who they think they will be seeing the playoffs. But and it was also interesting, they didn't bus down to the stadium from the Buttsmere Heritage Hall or from the weight room up there. They jogged across stadium. So, I mean, jogged across the campus. So they're, like you said, they're kind of, it's the end of that summer workout, the player-led, you know, 7-on-7 and stuff that's kind of wrapping up. Some of the guys will go home. Some of them are going to have to bust their butt and take some tough exams there. Even on to the first couple of days of camp, there'll be a couple guys finishing classes. So
I can tell you, finish up. You got to be a hell of an athlete to watch that video board and then run up those steps.
Now, I'm sure it's just into your background. You're just hearing it.
Okay, but I've been worried about them falling on it. But I'm sure they had the sound and all that. But
yeah, you hear the
sound.
It's
all built in to help them. And,
yeah, it's good motivation.
Hopefully we had answered some of the questions today, and I'm fired up about the SEC always, but these two new additions going to make it even better to just means more.
That's a perfect wrap up. And that is right up your alley, Coach. And I know that you have the Oklahoma ties. Now you have Oklahoma in the conference again. So it works out well. All right, anything else, Dane, or can we wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up.
All right, folks. Hey, I really appreciate everybody tuning in. Check with us next Tuesday. We'll be just a few days away from the start of spring practice. Or it's going to be fall practice when next Tuesday rolls around. We'll try to be back on at noon. Coach Don and Dane and myself. Shout out to Athens Ford, Your Pie, and Academia Brewing Company for sponsoring our show. And when you get a chance, swing by ugasports.com. Check out all our coverage. Tons of recruiting news, tons of analysis, tons of commentary. Stuff that you just can't get anywhere else over at ugasports.com. We will see you next week. Take care.